Government sucks at doing stuff.
You're listening to the Pursuit of Happiness Radio. Good for you.
The government are a bunch of clowns.
The Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
Guns don't kill people. The government does.
The Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
The American government lies to you.
The Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
It's the government, all right? People don't work there because they're geniuses.
The Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
We have less brains in Washington right now than we've ever had since we've been a nation.
Oh, hi. Greetings, kids. A new study says eating potatoes, yes, potatoes, could help you lose weight. Now, if that's true, why are there so many fat Irish cops on TV? That doesn't make any sense. I'm calling shenanigans. I'm calling malarkey. I'm calling bull poop on that whole thing. Speaking of bull poop, some news from San Francisco today that involves a lot of feces. We'll get to that soon. Plus, killer robots are coming for you, and a question many of you may have been asking as of late. During the pandemic, where were all the intellectuals? Why did they refuse to speak up about all the injustice happening around the supposedly free part of the world and Joe Biden's spending spree? Unprecedented. We've got all the details. Stick around for that. But first, I'm Kenny Webster. You're listening to my afternoon talk radio show, a spinoff of the Walton and Johnson Show. As always, quick reminders before we dive into our first topic. This radio show, there's a podcast of it. So if you can't always listen live, it's free. It's easy to get. I'm on almost every platform. I recommend the iHeartRadio app. But you don't have to use the iHeartRadio app. You could also use Spreaker, or you could use Spotify. You could use Apple iTunes. It's out there. Go look for it. If you can't find it, just go to your favorite search engine, type Kenny Webster podcast. I think it'll be easy to find. Now, something else that unfortunately is very easy to find is sexually explicit content involving young kids these days. It's just as common in public schools as it is in the world of fashion. Why is that? John Daniel Davidson recently had an observation about this Balenciaga thing, this fashion brand with the little kids in the bondage costumes on their stuffed animals, laying face down on a couch next to a half-empty glass of wine. And as if that wasn't weird enough, like as if they aren't already painting a crystal clear picture of what they're going for, somebody printed out Supreme Court documents from a child pornography law, from a judicial ruling on overturning a law against child pornography. So it's hard to think of an episode more tailored to confirm the wildest conspiracy theories of QAnon. You know what QAnon is? I don't believe in QAnon. QAnon was this, I mean, most of you know this, but just in case you've ever been confused about it, it's an internet conspiracy theory that there was some guy named Q, and he worked in the federal government, Donald Trump's federal government, and he was trying to warn the world about Satan-worshipping cannibalistic pedophiles or something like that. Global elites, a bunch of Satan-worshipping pedophiles, and this Balenciaga scandal, unlike the QAnon conspiracy theories, it is a real thing. It's very real, and it, you know, it kind of validates some of the stuff the QAnon people were talking about, although I still don't believe in Q. I don't think Q is a real person. Here you have a luxury fashion brand, literally caught in the act of grooming, with a recent ad campaign featuring small children wearing Balenciaga apparel, holding teddy bears wearing sexual fetish and bondage gear, and an ad campaign that includes court documents from a 2008 Supreme Court ruling on child pornography. So Balenciaga pulled the ads, issued a nonsense excuse about how it was a wrong choice to feature kids, and then they started playing the blame game. The whole thing, the company says, was a result of a series of errors. Now, as for the court documents about child pornography, Balenciaga's claiming ignorance. They're blaming a third-party contractor's what they call reckless negligence for using unapproved documents in the photo shoot. And they filed a $25 million lawsuit against the set designer. Balenciaga takes full responsibility. They admit it's their fault, but they're still blaming somebody else. Now, there's another image in that campaign of a woman posing in a Manhattan office with a stack of books behind her. One of those books is by Belgian painter Michael Boromans, yeah, whose work frequently features children and has included images of toddlers smeared in blood eating severed limbs. So far, the brand has said nothing about those books. Balenciaga's apology. doesn't really hold up the slightest bit of scrutiny here. Dozens, perhaps hundreds of people saw the photos of toddlers holding BDSM bears before the ad campaign launched. Do you actually believe that those images didn't get approved by management, by the exec? Of course they did. Guys, I work in advertising. You're listening to it right now. That's what this is. The company I work for, they don't tell me what I can and can't say on the radio. But you understand, they know what kind of person I am and what kind of content we're putting on the air before they put us here. And all that being said, the advertising part of what we do, fine. The talk radio part of it's me. I'm telling you what I think. I have a producer. His name's William. He's a great guy. And he and I put content together every day for all of you. But other than that, the advertising part, like the part where we actually advertise products, that's not just me. You know that, right? You know that's the executives in charge of the companies and businesses, the business owners, the managers that we're promoting, the sales executives who work here at the radio station. All that stuff gets approved. It all gets filtered. Everybody looks at it. We listen to it. We talk about it. It doesn't just happen. I don't get to decide how to market somebody's brand. I partner with people, and then we decide. That's what advertising is, right? How many Balenciaga executives, and which ones exactly signed off on it? How many staff members were on set when the images were shot? We won't ever know because Balenciaga will never tell us. Balenciaga brand ambassador Kim Kardashian now apologizing for the company but won't stop working with them. The company only issued its fake apology after the creepy ads provoked outrage. But there's a deeper story here beyond the hypocrisy and the depravity of a single luxury fashion brand, which is that companies like Balenciaga, along with nearly all corporate brands today, have no criteria for saying why such images are a wrong choice or that publishing them is an error. Why is it an error? Well, that was a mistake. Why was it a mistake? Can you tell us? How many of you are parents? I imagine quite a few of you are parents or grandparents and you have kids. And when your kids or grandkids do something wrong and they apologize for it, don't you always ask them, why are you sorry? And you make them explain it out loud, right? Balenciaga never told us why they were sorry. They just said, we strongly condemn child abuse. Do you? The photo shoot itself, in which young children were exposed to this content, were arguably child abuse. How can a brand both condemn and engage in child abuse? The answer is that the term child abuse has no meaning to the people who run Balenciaga, just as it has no meaning to the people who provide gender-affirming healthcare at Boston Children's Hospital, people that are mutilating and castrating little kids, powerful puberty-blocking drugs that cause irreversible damage. Guess what? That's grooming kids, too. Same goes for those who put on drag queen shows at a brunch on a Sunday. No, it's a family-friendly drag queen show. Sure, it's sexually explicit music, and we'll be telling dirty jokes in front of your four-year-old, but bring your four-year-old anyway. Only in a world of complete moral relativism is it possible simultaneously to condemn and engage in child abuse. And as stomach-turning as all of this is, you should not be shocked. This is what happens when we remove Judeo-Christian values from a Judeo-Christian society. Neo-paganism that's replacing Christianity is unable to recognize, much less condemn, child abuse. America was created on an idea. Thousands of years ago, there was this crazy wild idea thought up by this wild, really far out hippie named Jesus. And Jesus said something remarkable. He said, we're all equal. In God's eyes, we're all equal. There are no kings. There are no emperors. In the end, you all die and you'll be judged by the one true God. And then thousands of years after that idea got out there, it finally became a government. The United States of America didn't have a king. We didn't have queens or emperors. It was an idea that we're all equal. And yes, it wasn't perfect at first. It took quite a while, years, in fact, to get it right. But that idea eventually solidified, didn't it? And now we're here. It's like we're forgetting that idea.
Truth with a dose of sarcasm right here on Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
It's hard work to host a show with a couple of knuckleheads.
Ken Webster Jr.
Oh, hey, we're back. It's Kenny Webster. And I know I pointed this out. I don't, like, self-promote very much on the radio, so maybe I'll try to do that a little more today. The radio show you're listening to is hosted by a guy that's on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And since I don't have children and my wife runs her own business, if you interact with me on social media, I'll probably talk back. If you ever have a question or a comment, another thing I encourage you guys to do, and I'll try to play these a little later in the show, voicemail messages using the iHeartRadio app. I know I tell you to download a lot of apps like the Walton and Johnson app, for example, but another awesome app is the iHeartRadio app. It's free, costs nothing. You download it, and it has a feature in it where you can leave me a little audio recording. Sure, you could call the show, 713-212-5950, but I don't take a lot of calls on the show. It's a local radio show. People call, and I'm happy to hear from you. But most of what we do on this radio show when we do interact with you guys is so you don't have to play on hold, I do it as both a courtesy to you and a way to kind of organize the show a little better. I encourage you to download the iHeartRadio app. And while you're listening to either this radio show or our morning show, the Walton and Johnson show, there's a little button you can push called the talkback feature. And when you push the talkback button, you record a 30-second audio recording and it emails it to me. And then I'll play them back later in the show. So stick around for that. Right now, I want to talk about money. And here's the spokesperson for the hypocrisy of American capitalism.
Hello to all you little chutzpah-spewing right-wing extremists out there. Senator Bernie Sanders here. Did you know the most commonly searched thing on Google relating to my name is Bernie Sanders' net worth? For some reason, conservatives are obsessed with the fact that I'm a very wealthy socialist. It's true. I've sold millions of books. I have way more money than any of you realize. And I'm basically a combination of Karl Marx and Charles Manson. How does that feel, Republican schmucks? Hearing that a left-wing pinko commie nutjob like me is better at capitalism than you so-called capitalists must really tickle your angry bone, huh? Good. Kiss my grits, you QAnon, Elon Musk-worshipping, Kanye West-listening fascists!
Hey!
As my friend AOC would say, sorry, not sorry. Anyway, I gotta run. Somewhere a struggling small business owner is about to finally turn a profit, and I have to go invent more ways for them to keep suffering. Until next time, talk radio Nazis!
Hey! I don't like him. You know what? I'm gonna just go ahead and say it. I don't like Bernie Sanders. Hey, it makes me laugh. Bernie is funny. But, you know, it's the hypocrisy, right? There's so many people on the left that are like Bernie Sanders. The thing that I admire about Bernie Sanders is at least he wears it on his sleeve. Bernie Sanders is a socialist. He will tell you that to your face. What are you, Bernie? I'm a socialist. Well, yeah, obviously you're a socialist. But socialism, ask any communist, will tell you socialism is just the path to communism. So you have progressivism, which is their watered down McDonald's fluffy, you know, version of socialism. And then socialism is the path to communism. And these are all different versions of Marxism. And all these different toxic isms are just basically economic models and political ideologies that relate to the idea that you shouldn't have any property. What you own, everybody owns. The government owns everything you've ever created. Give it to us. Me, 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 me. That's their favorite song to sing. And there's nobody that's a better example of this on a big scale. Like Bernie's a problem. He's the chair of the House of the Senate Financial Committee. How crazy is that? Or the Budget Committee, same thing. But like Jonathan Bidlick recently pointed out at Reason.com, the current guy in charge, Joe Biden, his spending spree is unprecedented. I was willing to criticize Trump from time to time. I don't really, politically, for those of you that listen to the show enough, you know, I'm a Liberty Republican. I believe in a liberty-oriented version of conservative values. I'm a fiscal conservative, but I'm not like a staunch social conservative. I really just live and let live. You decide. As long as there's no victim, it's none of my business. You want to smoke weed or marry your boyfriend if you're a man, I don't care. Leave little kids out of it. Don't disrespect other people's religion. We're good for the most part. There are obviously exceptions, but what I am is I'm a liberty guy. And one of my problems with the MAGA Republicans, and I say this as somebody that wholeheartedly supports the MAGA Republican movement, was not always fiscal conservatives. They did spend a lot of money. But you know why I supported it? You know why I voted for Trump? You know why I supported the Matt Gaetzes and the Marjorie Taylor Greens of this country? Because at least they liked this country. And at least they admitted that capitalism's good, even if they do sometimes vote for bills that involve spending more money than what I would want the government to spend. And that's what brings us to our current presidency, more than any other time in recent history. The consequences of government overspending are becoming so apparent. Ron Paul warned us about inflation for years. Inflation continues to be well above the Federal Reserve's target. And the national debt recently topped $31 trillion. Now, tacking on $1 trillion in debt in barely more than a half a year used to be unheard of. Now we do it all the time. Now that's the norm. That norm went out the window when Biden's predecessor, you know, Donald Trump, was willing to sign any bill. Even if the bill was a little swampy or a little too expensive, Donald Trump wanted to get deals done. Now, again, Donald Trump wasn't perfect, but boy, it was better than what we've got now. What is shocking now is that hardly anyone's paying attention to Biden's spending. Even amid historic inflation, there were Democrats criticizing Trump for spending too much that are saying nothing about Biden when he does it. Both parties do that, by the way, but clearly the Democrats are worse. Now, for much of recent history, presidents have been able to get away with ignoring their campaign promises of fiscal responsibility. But as the bills are coming due for the U.S. economy, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Those days are numbered, aren't they? President Biden campaigned as a moderate. Now, despite doing that, he has dramatically accelerated federal spending during his time in office. He spent more in the first 2 years than Trump did during the pandemic. Official estimates from the Congressional Budget Office show that since January 2021, Biden set in motion a record $3.37 trillion in new spending, way more than Trump. Much like Trump, Biden has overseen, you know, the pandemic, obviously. But for Biden, the pandemic was almost over. The disease had mutated. It wasn't killing people. It was just getting them, you know, giving them a stuffy cold for a few days. And along came that American Rescue Plan Act. Biden actually bragged about this thing yesterday. He said, most people don't know how good it is. You don't know the deal. We won't know for years what it's going to do. We are actually starting to see already the American Rescue Plan Act, otherwise known as ARPA. It's causing more inflation. You know, do you know how much that cost? We don't even talk about it. It passed in March 2021. Do you know what it cost us? Almost $2 trillion, $1.8 trillion. Again, that used to be a shockingly large amount of money. Nowadays, meh. But it's the other expensive legislation Biden signed that pushed him past Trump, the much-vaunted Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, $765 billion. And the infrastructure expenditures involved in it had very little to do with infrastructure. It's one thing to pass an infrastructure bill when you need infrastructure, which we do, by the way. We have bridges that are probably going to collapse soon. But a lot of that money didn't even go to those things. John Stewart promoted that Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxins Act. The PACT Act is what it was called. Another $278 billion. And look, I'm all for providing health care to military veterans that were exposed to burn pits overseas. I get it. But at some point, if we want that, we've got to say no to something else, like the Build Back Better legislation or the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which it's $250 billion here, $278 billion there, another $51 billion here. What are we accomplishing? We're definitely not reducing inflation. Of course, these new laws all represent spending carried out by Biden with the Democrat-controlled Congress, but on top of everything Congress is doing, the president is still asking to spend more money. And then there's the topic of student loans. Do we even need to drive down that street? That's being challenged in court right now, but that's something. Originally, they said $40 billion. Then they said $400 billion. Now they're talking about $4.8 trillion in new borrowing. Good God. To pay off the student loans of upper middle class Zoomers and millennials. And this trend isn't even acknowledged by the media. Most Democrats and liberals want to talk about climate change. Republicans, I'm one of them. We spend a lot of time talking about the culture war, a valid thing. Because I don't want people to mutilate kids, but I also don't want to pay $20 for a pound of hamburger meat. Can't we have both? You know what I mean? And this is a strikingly ahistorical choice. This President Biden and Obama, they all love spending money. And it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And maybe Trump was the spendiest Republican of our lifetime, but it was nothing compared to his predecessor, compared to the guy that came before him and after him. At some point, Guam's going to tip over. Remember the Democrat who said that? At some point, that's an analogy based on a dumb thing that a Democrat once said. But at some point, we're going to get into trouble here, guys. At some point, America will not be the economic power of the globe. And it kind of looks like it's going to happen during our lifetime.
Hello, my name is Pedro. My favorite things to do are smuggle drugs, procreate like a rabbit, and listen to Pursuit of Happiness Radio with producer Keeney. He's stupid.
of Americans, according to a new poll, who does these? This is so ridiculous. The fact that someone even did this research, they claim 83% of Americans have never had chestnuts roasting over an open fire. Speaking of people and burning nuts, is Kim Kardashian dating anyone yet? What happened with Pete Davidson? Not for me. I'm married to Morgan. I love her, but I'm just wondering. Okay, just an excuse to say something. Kind of edgy, but not too not so edgy that it would get this show canceled. Now, there are worse things you could do than what I just did on this radio show, tell a joke about burning nuts. Not funny. But still, it's hard to both, like, not... This news story about the non-binary Biden nuclear official charged with stealing women's luggage in an airport, it's both hilarious and disappointing because it proves something we've said over and over again. These people in the federal government that seem like they're morally depraved are, and they've proven it to us. The shocking news, a guy who likes to dress as a woman, who Biden hired to be in charge of nuclear fuel, turned out to be somewhat unbalanced. He got caught not once but twice stealing women's luggage at the Washington, D.C. airport. And if you've ever seen a photo of the guy, it does kind of explain why he looks the way he looks. This story is somehow far, far crazier than even the headline. Dude didn't check baggage for a flight, yet went to the carousel, took a woman's Vera Bradley roller bag and checked it on it his next few flights. With people like Rachel Levin and then this guy, Sam Brittain, you know who Rachel Levin is? She's the, she's like an admiral in the, is that not insulting? It's a guy dressed as a woman who is in charge of your health. So, Deputy Secretary of the Department of Health. Doesn't look like she's ever been healthy a day in her life, or him or whatever. I don't care. But they both hold key positions in the Biden administration. You've got to wonder what the Russians and Chinese think about that. I can't wait to see if Tucker leads tonight with more news on this story. I'm curious. Keeps getting weirder and weirder. Anyway, apparently this guy has now released a statement. He wants to defend himself.
Hello, my name is Sam Brittain, President Joe Biden's non-binary, gender-fluid, trans nuclear waste official. It's my job to make sure you're safe from nuclear waste. You're welcome. It's also my job to make sure I look fabulous. And the best way to look fabulous is to steal women's clothing from the luggage terminal at the airport. Which is why you may have heard that I was recently arrested for stealing luggage from the Washington, D.C. airport, not once, but twice. Don't blame me. Your tax dollars aren't supplying me with the money I need to buy handbags and high heels. It's actually your fault. You aren't paying your fair share. And if you criticize me, it's only because you're transphobic and bigoted against me for participating in puppy play and erotic furry cross-dressing.
Of course.
Don't like it? Too bad. This is the new normal. I'm not just some sissified freak who sells sexual favors to sailors and Japanese businessmen near a dumpster in Boys Town. I'm a highly respected government official, and the work I do affects millions of people's lives. Welcome to America in 2022. Have a good day.
In the Navy, yes, you can sail the seven seas.
Yep. Thank you. That's not the right music. No, no, no. You're playing the wrong. I wanted to play a music about someone traveling on a ship, but that's the wrong ship. Ah, yes. There we go. Thank you. By the way, your voicemail is coming up. So leave me one using the iHeartRadio app talkback feature. But before we get to that, as reported today at Breitbart.com, hundreds of thousands literally have lost their faith in Disney's Star Wars. Disney's Star Wars, hundreds of thousands of people, these are British people, no longer interested in Star Wars. What happened? The numbers don't lie, by the way. Here's a report from, financialpost.com. Are you a Star Wars fan? Hundreds of thousands of people, 390,000, recorded their religious affiliation as a member of the mystical religion from the Star Wars movie series on a consensus form in 2001 and 2011, that led to Jedi Knight being officially recognized with its own category in the data by the Office for National Statistics. This is in England, right? The latest results show that England and Wales' Jedi Order fell from 176,000 a decade ago to about 1,600. So Jedi Knight is no longer a religious category you can choose in England. I know this is ridiculous, but trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. It's not so much Return of the Jedi, more as Demise of the Jedi. What I find the most striking about this is that this Jedi fervor occurred as the terrible George Lucas prequels were being released. Do you remember The Phantom Menace in 1999? Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith? These were not good movies. And as bad as those movies were, fans still enjoyed it, just having new Star Wars stuff. But now the faith is dead. What changed? There's more Star Wars than ever. There's more movies than ever. There's TV shows. There's all kinds of merchandise. Isn't there a Star Wars park now at Disney World has a Star Wars area you can go to? I mean, they always had a ride, but now they have a thing. It's like a whole section of the park for Star Wars. Kathleen Kennedy is the Lucasfilm chief. And she's worse than Thanos. Thanos, the Marvel character, set out to destroy 50% of what he touched. This woman's destroyed 100% of everything she laid her hands on. And I'm sure Kennedy and the child groomers at Disney are hearing this and thinking, good riddance to you white male, cisgendered, heteronormative patriarchy oppressors and your sexism and racism. We don't want you to like the Star Wars anymore. So getting back to my original point here, is the whole idea of listing Jedi Knight as your religion, is it a bit tongue-in-cheek? Yeah, probably, but however you want to look at it, even if it was all for fun, it reveals people's passion for the franchise back in the aughts, you know, 2000 to 2010. And now, it reveals the death of that passion. How this dreadful, preachy, stupid, agenda-driven trilogy of sequels killed all that passion. That thing that brought nearly 400,000 people together, even to celebrate a joke, they're gone now. 390,127 people, that was your fan base. Are your accolades, they represent $4 million in ticket sales, guys, which doesn't count the number of times diehard fans see the movie twice and the merchandise they purchase. So yeah, millions and millions of dollars in revenue, just to start, are gone. Why is that? Well, it's probably not a coincidence that at Disney, the woke groomers destroyed the Muppets, they destroyed the Pirates of the Caribbean, they destroyed Toy Story and the Star Wars film franchise, but bad things happen when you're driven by self-righteous hatred and bigotry. You don't get any sympathy from me. I don't care. There are plenty of pre-woke movies and TV shows available, and if I want to see something new, there's plenty of pre-woke stuff I've yet to see. You don't need smug, bigoted perverts grooming your kids and ruining Star Wars. I don't. I don't know. What do you guys think? Leave me a voicemail. I'll play them coming up in just a little bit. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Hey, speaking of space, don't you just love space? San Francisco has two things that are interesting going on right now. One of them is they just spent millions and millions of dollars per bathroom building portable toilets all over the city that look like spaceships. Big metal pods you climb inside. They look terrifying. Guess what? They broke in about 3 days. So they spent all this money because San Francisco is synonymous with Dookie on the street. And the city invested millions and millions and millions of dollars into these portable bathrooms all over the city. And guess what? None of them work. They're all broken. But here's another odd report today about San Francisco from Elizabeth Nolan Ryan. San Francisco cops are now have the ability to use killer robots. It sounds like something out of a science fiction movie, but it is all too real. Yesterday, San Francisco supervisors approved a law enforcement equipment policy proposal that allows local police to use various type of robots, and it stipulates that these robots can be used for the deadly force option. I have so many questions. What does a killer robot look like, for starters, right? The equipment policy proposal covers the use of 7 different types of robots, including, telling you what they're called in the report, heavy-duty robots, stair-climbing ability and an arm capable of lifting over 85 pounds. That's one of them, right? The heavy-duty robot. Then you got your dragon runners, which can be remotely operated from many hundreds of meters away. Now, according to the report, it says these robots can be used in training simulations, criminal apprehensions, critical incidents, executing a warrant or during suspicious device assessments. I'm guessing bomb stuff. We've had that for a while, but what's so interesting is this, the part right here after the dragon runners, robots, and I'm quoting verbatim here from the San Francisco City government, robots will only be used as a deadly force option when risk of loss of life to members of the public or officers is imminent and outweighs any other force option available by the San Francisco Police Department. All right, this language limits the use of deadly force robots to specific circumstances, and supervisors amended the proposal Tuesday to specify that officers could use robots only after using alternative force or de-escalation tactics. It does kind of remind me of that thing that happened in Dallas years ago. Do you remember the Dallas Five? I think it was 2015. It was the end of the Obama administration. There was a big riot, a Black Lives Matter riot in Dallas. Well, first it started with a protest, and then it became a bit unruly. And then a mass shooter climbed up on top of a building, and he started shooting at the cops. Five cops died. Five cops died defending Black Lives Matter protests, protesters who were protesting the cop, the very cops that were saving their lives. Irony there. Do you remember how that news story ended? They sent in a killer robot. So I guess killer robots aren't all bad, huh?
You are listening to the Pursuit of Happiness Radio. Pursuit of Happiness, we don't have that in Mexico.
It is really beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. In Chicago, Walmart and Target stores are putting out milk and cookies for the shoplifters. But Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm Kenny Webster. I still got a few more minutes with you here this afternoon, so thanks for turning on your radio. You know what I'm going to do right now? I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to get a little daring. This is a bit like skydiving without a parachute. I'm going to play sound bites that you guys created live on the radio. I'm going to play them, and I don't know what you're going to say. Now, if you want to leave me a soundbite, you can. Download the iHeartRadio app. It's free. And while you listen to this show, there's a little button you can push. You know, you listen to this show on KPRC Radio, obviously. There's also a podcast. You can either listen to this show or our morning show. And while you're listening to the show, there's a button you can push called Talkback. And if you leave me a little message, you might hear your voice on the air. Now, I don't know what you guys are going to say in these, so hopefully you don't swear.
Yeah, that 30 seconds isn't long enough. Anyway, if you want to know more...
Oh, this is a part two. Hang on. I guess he did two of these. Here's part one from this guy.
Kenny, there is so much you don't know.
Uh-huh.
The Kushites ruled over Egypt. I forget how many years. It was five or six generations. In fact, if it was not for a Kushite king, you would not be Catholic. There would be no Judaism. There would be none of that.
Okay.
Anyway,
hang on. And then here's his part two. Hold on.
Yeah, that 30 seconds isn't long enough. Anyway, if you want to know more, you can look up the Kushite pharaohs.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have no idea why he's leaving this message. Did we talk about the Kushites on the morning show? Maybe we did. I don't remember. I have no clue what he's talking about. Maybe we did. We were talking. It sounds like he's talking about Egypt. We were talking on the morning show about how Egypt wants back the Rosetta Stone. You know what the Rosetta Stone is? It's this ancient artifact that had writing on it from all these different languages, and it helped to, you know, bridge the divide between different cultures who couldn't speak each other's language so many years ago. And it has historical significance. Egypt wants it back from England. England got it from France. It had a lot to do with wars 100 years ago. Don't know what that had to do with the Kushites, but okay, thanks. A lot of our listeners thought Kushite was a strand of marijuana, and you're both right.
Morning, guys. The thing about the lobster is that they're saying that the lobster traps are killing, I forget what kind of whale it is, white whale or something like that.
Hang on, before we listen to this. We were talking this morning about how Whole Foods is getting rid of lobster, but you could still buy lobster on Amazon.com. So it's kind of a contradiction there because Whole Foods is owned by Jeff Bezos, who also owns Amazon. So if Whole Foods has some moral problem with lobster, why would it matter if you could still get it on Amazon? And it sounds like he's trying to explain what Whole Foods' reasoning was, but it still doesn't explain why. Anyway, more voicemails from you guys.
Hey, Kenny. Paul from the Woodlands here.
Hey, Paul.
The best argument that the Senate Republicans can make for keeping the filibuster is this. Tell the Democrats that the Republicans will eventually be the majority again in the Senate.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah, this is a great point, Paul. I've said this so many times. For some reason, Democrats, they're both parties are hypocrites. There's no doubt about it. But Democrats love to filibuster when they're not in power. But then when they are in power, they think, oh, we got to get rid of the filibuster because that's the thing that is keeping white supremacy alive in America. They actually believe that. And then the reason that they say that is something to do with the people filibustering the Civil Rights Act so many years ago. I'm sure you remember that. It was before I was born, but we've all heard the story, right?
Can we call the negligence hotline in reference to the Houston's water problems this week, Kenny? We should contact the Busby Law Firm.
That's pretty funny.
There's got to be something we can sue Turner on.
Yeah.
Damn thug.
Well, okay, it's got a little, he used a little language there at the end of that soundbite, but he makes a good point. They lied to us about the water thing this week. I mean, you know they lied to you. They lie about everything, but they blamed it on an electrical issue, which technically it sort of was. You know, the transformers sort short-circuited, but like Greg Travis explained on this, right, if this was just a normal electrical issue, we could have used the backup generators. Well, Greg Travis, the former city councilman, pointed out on the show the other day, even the backup generators are broken, but it still doesn't really describe the problem because the transformers still would have been broken. See, they're not, they don't want to solve the problem. They don't want to solve any problems. They want to build a new bridge and a new park and put their name on the plaque and then move on to running for statewide or national office. That's all any politician in Houston wants to do. Who's the new guy today? John Whitmire's running for Houston mayor. He's the longest serving state senator or something. He's a Democrat. I know very little about him. We're going to talk about him tomorrow on the show, so stick around for that.
Hey, it's Dale. Brother, that segment where you talked about the separation of classes being an indicator of an authoritarian government, that was heavy, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, man. Some of these voicemails are from last week. I'm just getting to them now, but your voicemails are still important to me.
Ha! Kima's been bonkers for a bunch of years, brother. You want to talk about small town corruption? Yeah. Look him up.
Kim, did he say Kimball's been corrupt? Hang on, what is he? Let's see.
Ha! Kima's been bonkers.
Kima! Oh, Kima, yeah. Yeah, okay, there's a story that Holly Hansen has. I don't know if you guys have seen this. About, let me see if I could pull it up real quick. Holly Hansen is a regular guest on the show. She's a journalist from the Texan News. I give her a lot of airtime because she's one of the only conservative journalists in town reporting on local issues, and she's a friend of mine, so I like to give her airtime. Kima is seeking to remove a top law firm as all these legal battles are going on and controversies with the mayor. And I really don't have enough time to talk about it at the end of the show here since I only have a couple minutes left with you guys. But there is a story I encourage you guys to look at that was published that last week at thetexan.news. And Holly wrote it about some of the corruption in Kima and some of the issues with the mayor. And I don't claim to be I don't live in Kima. Kima is a beautiful town. I really like Kima, but kind of like Fredericksburg, it's a small town that's very beautiful and it's needlessly expensive. I would live there if not for that. Of course, I'm kind of a cheapskate, so what do I, you know.
The movie Dogma called out all the Disney execs, Eigner included, if you remember.
Oh, I forgot about that. Dogma is such a brilliant, I'm a Catholic, so I always liked the movie Dogma, because as I'm a Catholic, I don't take myself too seriously. I'm willing to admit that the Catholic Church has problems, and I still assert that it's a beautiful religion. I was in a Catholic church last weekend. I'll probably go again this weekend if we're able to. We try to go to church most weekends, my wife and I. And my wife's Methodist, but lately she's been going to Catholic church with me, which makes me very happy. Because when I go to church, I like to beg for forgiveness. I don't want to listen to electric guitar solos. Don't get me wrong, I love an electric guitar solo, but that's not what you go to church for. No offense, Methodists. My wife disagrees, by the way. Here's another voicemail.
Hey, Kenny, just wanted to say have a happy Thanksgiving and keep her going.
All right, so thank you, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you. So obviously some of these voicemails are from last week. I'll tell you what, I'll get more up to date on the current ones tomorrow on the show. If you ever want to leave me a message, you can. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow morning on the Walton and Johnson Show. God bless America. God bless Texas.
You are listening to the Pursuit of Happiness Radio. Tell the government to kiss your ass when you listen to this show. Ooh,